bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Gamer Show. Your fortnightly dose of...
Us.
Us. Yes. To my left is Mr. Sam. How are you this evening, Sam?
It's afternoon today, but I'm really good.
It is, actually. Yeah, we're recording this later than usual.
Yep.
Because Chiz had to see his girlfriend or something. So we...
Whatever.
Oh, no, you didn't. You went out for drinks last night.
Yeah.
We normally record on a Friday night. Sorry to break the illusion that we're not... talking to you from Sunday.
Coming in your ears, live!
But Chiz had stuff to do last night, so we're actually recording this on Saturday afternoon, which I don't like doing, because I feel we're off our game on a Saturday afternoon.
I do, actually.
Yeah.
I feel more awake. I haven't been to work as much, so I'm less I'm less depressed.
All right, so you feel like you're on your game today.
I wouldn't say on my game, but...
Okay, well, we expect good things
from
you.
On the game, yeah.
On the game. And to his left is Chiz. How are you?
I'd like to make a public appeal. If anyone's seen my soul, please bring it back to me. It either left my body last night along with my dignity, or it went out several orifices this morning.
Orifice of eye?
As for my dignity, that's fine. I lost that years ago.
Very good. Right, okay, moving on. So the first thing we want to talk about is Thief 4, which we have... We have mentioned that a few times, but there is a rumour that Thief 4 is just going to skip current generation consoles and just hang out and just kind of wait in the wings until the new generation consoles comes out.
Kind of yay, because it might come out on PC. Still.
Yeah. It's not going to come out on PC first, surely.
Why not?
Well,
just why?
Well,
thus ends Paul logic.
No, I see what you mean, though. They won't get the big hype on the console market, and the console market's a lot bigger. So purely from a financial aspect, yes.
Yes, that's my theory anyway.
But still, my question is, why not?
Well,
give me it.
If you think about it, if it comes out in the PC first, and then that's almost kind of reinforcing the theory that it may that they're waiting for the next generation console.
Oh, so it could be like a teaser.
Well, they wouldn't do that, because then it'd be just like, well, here's the PC one.
Look how much better it is than your poor people consoles.
And we may have lost the other two, and we may find them at some point in the future when the unyet announced next generation consoles come out.
So if the rumours to be true, it'll be, I think, at the earliest next generation consoles will be end of next year or 2014, and it kind of depends how far along Thief 4 is. If it's, I wouldn't have thought it'd be how far along in development is to launch this year. They're probably thinking about next year when all the consoles will be starting to die off.
Mm.
So they'll point it right, which was just up the graphics, chuck more into it, and then develop it and launch it.
It's a good idea, and it's going to make it a better game at the end of the day. So.
Do you think this is a concern for all big budget titles?
Mm-hmm.
For games coming
the next
out,
12 months.
For games coming out in the next 12 months, yeah. But I don't think the PS and the 360 will die a death as soon as the new consoles come out. Well, it's PS2 is actually still selling not too badly.
Japan apparently does insanely well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not going to be buying one for. I never do buy the consoles for at least a year or so.
And then you lose it anyway.
Hmm?
Then you lose them anyway. Sam has owned both an Xbox 360 and a Wii at least once in the current generation, and he has neither of them at the present moment, because he's lost both of them.
One for my girlfriend, who then sold it, and had an Xbox 360 myself, and woke up just after Christmas when my brother had been staying with me to find that he was putting it in a box and taking it with him.
So Sam has neither... none of the current consoles, so that's kind of irrelevant for you. Do you think that this is kind of something saying that, who's it that makes Thief?
I will.
Eidos?
Eidos.
How would you pronounce it?
I would say Eidos.
Do you think they've got an
Eidos.
Whatever it's called. Do you think they've got an inside track then? Do they know that the next ones are coming and they know when it's coming?
Well, there's a good few developers have had the new Xbox. It's the development kit since January, So they're aware of what sort of power it's going to be. Say a development kit is just basically a PC, but it'll have what's in that is basically the spec of the new Xbox. So they're making games at the moment, but they're not allowed to actually announce or show anything until they're allowed.
Right. Well, I suppose it'll be NDA'd or something like that. Also, Grid 2. A sequel has finally been confirmed for Grid.
What was Grid?
Grid is a racing game, and I'm not into racing games.
I knew it was a racing game, that's why I didn't know anything about it.
But. Yeah, well, actually, I'm not into racing games, and I really like Grid. Grid is an awesome game.
Grid was awesome.
What was it that was awesome about Grid, though? I know this sounds like a silly question, but it was just a standard racing game, but I really, really liked it, as opposed to other racing games. But I don't know what it was.
I think it was the fact that it was part of the race driver idea, which they tried before, where you actually, you're the same sort of, you can put yourself in the game and then you travel to it's certain events and you're fighting for points and you actually start to get to see the AI, it's AI drivers that follow you around as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually tend to see, and you can tell quite fast which ones are the good ones, the bad ones, and you end up having a good battle in between the same AI during all these races, which for whatever reason totally sucks you in.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's it.
And playing online, it was great fun as well.
Yeah, but they've apparently done quite a bit of work in the AI for this one as well.
Hopefully, yeah.
It's a quote from an article which I can't actually remember. I think it was on CVG.com, but hardwired to prioritise against the most immediate threat for track position, as in the AI is hardwired to prioritise against the most immediate threat for track position, be that in front or behind them. So it seems they've done quite a bit of work in the AI for.
Yeah, because if they're leading the championship, they'll make sure they're ahead of whoever's behind them in the championship, mm-hmm. rather than which they kind of do in real racing anyway. So I think that's quite cool. I've seen a few screenshots, but what I've read is the graphics are supposed to be really impressive. They've been developing as a game engine since the last one. It's, I think, was it 2008, 2007?
Must be somewhere about there.
It's been in the making for a while. One thing I did read was the version that the journalist played was getting played on a high power PC,
yeah.
Which makes me wonder.
Are they doing the same thing as Thief?
Yeah. Which, and the PC version will be the best version, but whether or not the graphics, after seeing all these, the amazing graphics, then seeing the Xbox and PS3 version, kind of go, it doesn't look quite as good.
Yeah.
But then again, if it's out next year, I might actually hold off and maybe pick up for the PC or pick up for the next generation or something.
Oh, and Russell likes racing games.
Yeah.
And I'm mentioning that purely because we were out for dinner with Russell the other night and he complained that we mentioned him on every episode of The Gamer Show until the one he appeared on, and then we've not mentioned him since. So
As I said the other night, why don't we just not mention him on purpose? Can we cut this bit out?
No.
As punishment for begging for airtime.
How have you got cake on your nose?
Inhaling
the echo
cube.
Press your button.
I did a swear.
Sam is eating Eccles cakes tonight.
Oh yeah, they're good. Yeah. Today.
I keep thinking we're recording.
Yeah, the only real proper racing game I've ever particularly enjoyed was Gran Turismo.
The very first one.
PlayStation 1.
That was awesome.
PlayStation 1?
Yeah, it was PlayStation 1.
It really sucked, man. I really enjoyed that.
I think that was the customization, because you got points being prizes, and you then got to do all sorts of fancy things to your car and everything like that. But for some reason, the next ones just didn't draw me in as much.
It's been the same game ever since, and after a while, I got bored of it.
I just realised I was going to try and do the show notes while we're recording tonight instead of doing the show notes after the fact, and I've completely ignored the show notes, and we're 10 minutes in.
Oh. Can people write in about what we've talked about?
It's okay, I'll do them after the fact.
Just do searches on articles that we mention, work out where they're from, and tell us, please.
I found amusing with its Codemasters have abandoned every other genre now. They've changed that. They actually changed their name to Codemasters Racing. That's all they're doing now is racing games.
Right.
Because got F1 2012, which is out in September, which I'm really looking forward to, as is your brother.
And we mentioned him twice, Sam.
Yeah.
jealous.
That's the thing, I've never been a massive fan of racing games, but there's certain racing games you enjoy, the F1 game, and it was great, and I used to it was Gran Turismo, but I'm bored to death of it now. Forza's alright, but it doesn't really pull me in, and so but certain games I found out I actually do quite like racing games, so I didn't think that's my genre. So yeah, in actual fact, I'm a bit of a racist.
I think Chiz is still drunk.
I do quite enjoy the grid games. But moving on. So there has been a reference in some code that somebody's found under a rock or something. The Valve's next generation Source 2 engine is coming soon. And it's not really like kind of somebody's had to dig too far to find this reference. There is actually an exact line. It's not exactly vague, but there's an exact line in one of the codes that says, and this is exactly how it says, return an STR, as in a string, with the current engine version. If key doesn't exist, assume source. Otherwise invalid, assume next gen source 2. So I think that's a bit cut and dry. I don't think there's really any kind of vagueness in that.
It's from someone's code who's not actually making a game.
It's a film using the
game engine, which is quite a cool thing to do, I think. Folk are making films from computer game engine.
I'm kind of feeling that this isn't really... I mean, it's newsworthy in the sense that
Is this when Half-Life 3 is that
well,
when
exactly.
you eventually see that?
But Source Engine 2 was in 2004. I mean, it's no brainer that they were going to bring another Source out. Sorry, Sam, you're going to say something?
I was just going to... When he said Half-Life 3, I was just going to say, did anyone see them... fan mod of Half-Life 1
using the Source engine. I haven't seen that, it looks gorgeous.
Well, I mean, we've mentioned that before because we've had it in the news before.
Have we?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Sam pays full attention to this.
I put it on the news.
Cheers might be drunk today, but I'm normally hammered.
And that's not on drink.
So, hopefully.
Off his tits on bleach.
I'm not sure if we have to. I'm going to have to check on that word.
I think that'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
You're sponsored by Toilet Duck as well, aren't you?
So, another article. Crytek. I can't remember. It's somebody at Crytek. Oh, CEO at Crytek. Sivat Yerli. I think that's how you pronounce it. Consoles in danger of falling behind tablets. What's our thoughts on this?
I think he's an idiot.
Well, okay. Give me your arguments why.
I think we've gone over this quite a lot of times, and we've said how much do you enjoy playing games on a tablet?
Tablets are limited by what you can actually play in them, and they're a pain in the ass. Depending on the game.
I'm just gonna throw something out here, right? Okay, so we spoke about two or three shows ago, I can't remember, about the Game Dock, which in itself wasn't fantastic because you were playing like old kind of almost 16-bit emulations and things like that of your favourite games.
Mm-hmm. Which is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But imagine for a second that... Imagine for a second that you could...
Close your eyes, Sam. Your
iPad. No, people touch me when I close my eyes.
Imagine for a second that you could take your iPad or your iPhone or your Android device, whatever you want, plug it into this dock, and you had proper next-generation games, so like Thief 4, on your iPad or your tablet of some kind, and plug it in your telly, and this game dock has like an Xbox 360 or a controller like that, and you're not using the tablet, you're just using it as a machine.
Are we almost going back to cloud here?
No, not necessarily, because are you talking about the possible issues with performance on a tablet?
No, yes,
right?
Because
I've thought of that in my research. And AMD announced a new chip. And I can't remember when it was. I'm just bringing up the URL just now.
AMD do some really good stuff.
Sorry, no, it's not AMD, it's ARM.
Ooh.
Sorry. ARM have released a new mobile graphics processors, which is faster and more speedier than current generation consoles. It's called the Mali, MALI-T600. And so that's actually meaning that it's more powerful than current consoles. Now, okay, we're not talking about next gen, but if your iPad or your tablet had this type of technology inside it, so it was equal to or greater than the power of a PlayStation 4 or the Xbox 720, mm-hmm. it came with a game dock thing. Mm-hmm. And when you take into account the current economic or financial thing just now, where families at the moment are maybe considering, do I get a Wii, do I get a 360, do I get a PlayStation? But then maybe in future they're having to kind of think, well, I also need a tablet. So if the tablet's going to do all that, then
Right.
Wouldn't you just buy a tablet?
You're streaming the picture to your TV while you're pointing a controller, but you can also use the tablet as a second screen for...
You can always use your tablet as a second screen, or it could just be the brains.
Possibly.
And it's sitting in the game dock.
Possibly, but it costs a lot more.
Well, yeah, but when you in the scenario...
Plus
I just
you get in the dock.
Okay, the dock's £100.
Yeah,
right?
And then you presumably you're talking like £400 for a decent...
Yeah, like 329 or something like that, iPad starts up.
For the same price, you could buy probably a really powerful PC, which blows the tablet out of the water.
That was going to
be... But then you've got your mobile aspect. Yeah. It's kind of... these aren't invalid points, what you're saying. I'm just suggesting that
you're
this
just whitewashing them because... You
no, they are valid points.
Listen to me!
But the PC is stuck to a desk. If you've got the tablet, which can be docked and you can plug an external monitor into it, so you've got the same power that's your desktop PC for doing your accounts, you could take it down the stairs and plug it in and it's your media centre. You could unplug it and take it on the train to read your newspaper. You then plug it back in and you can play Thief 4. You know, and you're buying one device that does all these things.
Completely untrumpable argument, right? And actually, it's for PC. No, that's incredibly bad dandruff.
Oh, okay.
It's for PC for gaming as opposed to consoles or anything like that. And right, PC can do all of that, plus it's sitting there. So when you're looking at porn, you don't need both hands. With a tablet, it's difficult.
You need some sort of cup holder to put on it.
Yeah.
I can make a fortune from...
Right, okay, anyway, moving on. I'm going to just push on here. Right, the final thing I just want to talk about in the news section was an editorial on Game Informer by Tim Turrell, which kind of sounds like that's the alter ego of like a superhero.
Tim Turrell.
Tim Turrell. Half man, half ant. No?
Ant's not that funny.
But it would be powerful.
It would. It should have been like...
There's already a crap superhero called Ant-Man.
Yeah, there is, actually. Anyway, moving on.
Should have been half capybara or something like that.
The editorial is actually quite interesting reading. It's called The Cost of Keeping Current, and it's actually something that I find a problem with doing this podcast. And what the article's talking about is that there's tons of old games out there that he wants to return to, but he has to play the latest games to be able to write about them. And this is my problem. Ever since we've started doing this podcast, much as I enjoy doing it, there are games that I've been playing for the 2 weeks, and then once I mention them in the show,
this
I can't really...
news, this is you bitching.
Yeah. Also, there's a certain element of you don't really put the time in the first place, even before this, so...
I do so every
1 hour.
Every
what? Like 1 hour.
I played
on
my game at least 3 hours this week. No, Skyrim didn't draw me in. That's not my point. My point is, for example, I've mentioned Crysis 2, Assassin's Creed 2, and Max Payne 3 on recent shows, and I really want to go back and play all of them, but I just don't have the time to do them and then play the other thing. So I think it's a really good article because he's talking about kind of really old games that he maybe wants to go back and play, like retro games and stuff like that, but he's having to play the games that just came out last week so he can review them, and play them to a degree so he can review them, which is unfortunately not what I do. I play them to a degree and then watch trailers on YouTube.
I'm just curious,
really?
No, I don't.
This podcast goes out, gets done outside. You can actually hear the cars go past.
We've got the windows open. It's quite a warm afternoon, so we've got the windows open. So apologies for that. Anyway, so that was the news.
Oh, please. Cramp. hamstring cramp, the worst. Oh, the worst of the cramps.
So, Sam, what are you looking forward to coming out in coming months?
There's actually quite a few things, and retro in particular sparked it.
Wait a minute. I just want to point out here that you've not had something to talk about in the last two shows in this section, so do you want to blow your load on this one show?
I do.
Right, okay.
I always blow my load when I've built it up.
Not from the evil one.
Sam, what are you looking forward to?
There's Neverwinter and Baldur's Gate, which...
Neverwinter, the new Neverwinter Nights.
It's not Neverwinter Nights. It's just Neverwinter, and there's
your copy of Neverwinter Nights is up on my shelf.
And there's which Neverwinter, frankly, wasn't as good as Baldur's Gate. And then there's Baldur's Gate, like a remastered version, which also looks quite interesting. But mostly,
sorry, Sam's just been switched off because he was too loud there.
I got so excited there. Mostly, I'm looking forward to War of the Roses.
That does look very,
which just
very
looks
good.
Awesome, and it means that I can be Yorkshire and kick the naughty bits out of Lancashire. Yeah, which is always good fun.
Next month, is it?
It is.
It looks superb.
Looks really, really exciting. It's big lads in armour. Varying degrees of armor depending on what you're specking your lad up to do. There's mounted combat, there's archery in there, there's crossbows in there, maces, halberds, pikes, everything.
Well, it looks like basically Call of Duty in medieval times, because the multiplayer is basically third person view or first person view, scuttling people, basically
knocking seven shades of out of each other.
Cool. It does look very good, so we'll be keeping a close eye on that one. I think I'll probably be having a go at that when that comes out. Chiz, what are you looking forward to?
I think they showed a trailer this week of and had the release date for the 20th September for Formula 1 2012, so I'm looking forward to that. And
really?
Yeah.
Really?
What?
London 2012?
Formula 1.
Oh, right, okay. I think you said London 2012. Nobody's excited about the Olympics video game coming out.
It's been and gone.
I am.
Oh, yeah, I suppose it is, actually. It's been...
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and hopefully... That's it. But I've enjoyed the last two games. They get a bit of a ribbon for having quite a lot of bugs and stuff. But the bugs didn't ruin. I'm sorry. I had to stab a child there. It's Saturday. Yeah, they're bad for bugs and stuff like that. And bless you.
You always lose your track when you stab children.
Oh.
It's just that little bit of endorphins that hits and then you lose your way.
Right, okay, like, so you're looking forward to Formula 1 2012, yes.
Yes, that.
Right.
Because there's racing and stuff.
Yeah.
That was good.
Okay, I am very much looking forward to the Leap Motion. Have you guys seen this?
Leap Motion.
It's a hardware thing.
Is it about jumping?
No, it's basically
Kinect.
It's a
dance game for the Kinect, yeah.
It's Kinect, but done, no, it's not a game for Kinect. It's Kinect done right.
There are no games for Kinect.
Basically. No, I know. Right, okay. I'm just going to play the video here. Hopefully the audio is not going to play. Hang on, I'm going to have to mute the audio here so it's not bugging us. But basically, it's this thing.
It's a little tiny box that sits in front of a computer. And you move it around and
you move
it does
your hand
stuff.
Around, and it basically allows it, it's just much better gesture control. You'll see in a second, we'll put a link in the show notes to kind of see what we're looking at just now. But it allows you to almost do kind of Minority Report type computing, just using your finger. So it doesn't just kind of deal with your limbs as with the Kinect, so you get, doesn't really matter what your fingers are like, it actually can detect your different. Fingers.
So it's basically a sneak preview of what hopefully Kinect 2 will be like.
Well, hopefully, but this is much cheaper. This is what I'm talking about, because this is a mention of it with gaming.
I don't like the weird cupping of the hand he had to do while pointing, but I don't know. It looks really good.
A different sort of X-rated game.
You can see the fingers there.
Funnily enough, we were talking in work not that long ago about what we thought was going to be the next generation of how kind of compute. I like the chopstick movement there. That was good. How computers are going to be controlled. And one of my colleagues was saying, you know, everything's going to go kind of touchscreen, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no. It's going to go one further than that. It's going to be
gesture based.
And I was poo-pooed a little bit. And I'm going to make him watch that. And in your face.
I have to admit, and don't tell Kirsty this till after the wedding, but I've pre-ordered it. So hopefully it's going to arrive
in
February.
How many things are we up to now that we're not to tell Kirsty about?
The thing is, if she actually bought to listen to the podcast,
she does kind of listen to it as well, doesn't she?
She on occasion does, actually, but not recent episodes. But I've pre-ordered that, so hopefully that will arrive and it will be very, very cool.
To poo-poo your gesture, Valve have actually been testing some games controlled with your tongue.
I don't want a game controlled with my tongue.
I'm going to move on before this goes too far.
Yeah. It gets tired.
Have you done it again?
I have.
Stop shouting.
I wasn't.
Shubdy man.
Right, okay, so that was the preview section. just gave Sam a dead arm. What have you been playing this week, Chiz?
I have been playing. They brought out a patch and trophy stuff for Metal Gear Solid 4, and I thought it'd be a good opportunity to jump back into that. And it just basically, the patch was to eventually get trophies for the game five years after the game's been released. The annoying thing is, you have to, after, even though I completed and done everything you could possibly do with the game, I have to do it all over again just to get the trophies, but I don't think I'll bother with that. So I've just been kind of messing about with that, and the good thing with the patch as well, because you can actually install the whole game to your hard drive.
Right.
Before, it was like, say the game's in four acts, and say if you moved from Act 1 to Act 2, you had to wait like a 4-minute install as it took out Act 1 and installed Act 2. And it was just a cluster.
Thank you. And that's four this time. We were just commenting on the way here, actually, that we managed the last two podcasts without any swears.
I skipped quite a few. I've managed to hold myself back. I only got one in this time.
Anyway, moving on.
And I've been playing a bit of Metal Gear Solid 4, and yeah, it's like still a very good game, although for Act 1 and 2, I'm not that far back through it, but what I remember, I really enjoyed Act 1 and 2. I thought that they found the right sort of gameplay, the way to move on. Like, basically, you're creeping your way through a battlefield. You can be as stealthy or as gung-ho as you want. As people are fighting all around you, you can just go... But Act 3 and 4, I remember being bloody awful. Like Act 3, 4 and 5, like 3 is just really short and mostly cutscenes. 4 was back to... The game's out, I'm ruining it for you, I don't care.
I think when it's this late, you don't have to worry about it.
Also, seeing as you've interrupted, I feel I should say, when Chiz did his little whistly bit there, he did actually do a kind of fat man walking motion as well. Yeah. Just because most people miss that.
And most apart from us.
Yeah. Well, that is most people.
Hey, that's my stealth walk. The children don't see me coming. But I think it's Act 4. Yeah, it is back to Shadow Moses, which is where the first Metal Gear Solid 1 was based, which at first was pretty cool, going back through, better graphics and stuff, but it was actually pretty crap because it was just robots that you sneak past, and the robots that you sneak past were a lot more boring compared to, like, even though they're human AI, even though they're all robots technically, but it was more fun against them because you could do funny stuff with them. The robots, like the little ball hand things, were crap. And then Act 5 is the end of the game, was basically 2 minutes of gameplay, 2 hours of cutscenes. Nice. Which on the first playthrough, getting the story, yeah, cool, but I really enjoyed my first playthrough, but I remember replaying it again not long afterwards and realising how little bloody gameplay the second half of the game has. It's just massive, massive
cutscenes.
Yeah, because like I realised it took me about 25 to 30 hours to complete my first playthrough. Second playthrough, and I was skipping the cutscenes about 8 hours.
Right.
It's just like, Christ, most of half that game is bloody cutscenes. And being a Metal Gear Solid fan, I enjoyed it, but at the same time, it was just like, how do you go make a film or something? Uh-huh. And it's such a convoluted mess, some of the plot. Still enjoyed it, but it just talked absolute nonsense at points.
Cool. Sam, what have you been amusing yourself with this week?
There's this new thing that just came out, fresh to the PC. No one's ever seen it before. It's called Skyrim Dawnguard.
Wow.
Sweet Jesus, what's it like?
It's wild. There's trolls with armour that can get beaten
trolls?
Up by... Trolls?
Jesus!
With armour that can get beaten up by trolls without armour.
All right, so...
Which I was quite annoyed about.
They look better, but they're worse.
Yeah. Stylish trolls.
Yeah. Thinking out the side of the box there. But stuff.
There's slightly big, ugly vampires who spuff different colours out of each hand. They do.
The vampires are really annoying, because like they fire lightning at you. Well, it's quite cool when you go through the town, like to a village, and you'll see like a guy in a black cloak, and you see he's looking shifty, he's a vampire, you walk up to him, and you go, nah! And he starts attacking you. And you'll hit you with lightning in one hand, which screws up your magic and your health, and then he does a health drain thing with the other hand, and it's just like... I remember having fighting three of these guys, and I'm quite high level, and been realising, like, Christ, I'm nearly dead already here. I had to get potions out for the first time in ages because I was that hard. But it's like, Christ, the vampires are tough as nails.
I don't know how good you are at like the stealth aspect of it, but I'm quite far up in the stealth thing, and I've got the can move at full speed practically while crouching. And running in stealth, and no one ever catches me.
Yeah, I've not bought all the perks. I've bought a couple for stealth, but I'm at 100 stealth, although to be honest, I'm 100 new everything. I turned into a bit of a leveling whore to meet the legendary dragon, so I'm up to level 78.
Yeah, I'm near there too.
Really?
Yeah. You found the magic chippy fork.
Paul was shocked when I called him a dragon. I called a dragon to my aid, and Paul was like, oh,
what? I've never seen a dragon in Skyrim before.
There's dragons in Skyrim.
No, to be fair,
I've never seen the opening
sequence. Yeah. You get a dragon. So I knew
there's a dragon there, but that could have been the only one, as far as you knew.
No, I have.
Spoiler alert.
A couple of dragons.
All right.
It was also quite cool to see. Well, I've got Scamford for the Xbox, and part of my wishes I got for the PC because
it is pretty.
I was looking at it.
I saw you playing on your machine, which is an alright machine. It's not the fastest in the world, but it does a job. But I noticed that the graphics were far, far prettier. Although your frame rate looked weird. It did look, as I say, like a Benny Hill sketch at points. I don't know why, but
I think it was because I have alcoholic juddery hands. Yeah, but lacking.
It was even the dragon. It was just kind of.
What was that again?
I think that's like me slipping through time again.
Cool.
I love you, Paul. Really, really fast.
I have this week. I ordered Risen 2 to play. It only arrived this morning. Thank you very much. Play
are useless.
Let's hope we're not going to them for any advertising.
Sponsor us, please.
If you like your games late and never on time, order from Play. They take 3 days to take your money and then send it out the door. I mean, that annoys me. They say, like, next day delivery. Do the hell. It takes them 2 days to process your feckin' order.
I know. Anyway.
Well done, Chase.
So, Risen 2 arrived this morning, so I will be talking about the next
f***ing order.
You are.
So, I'll be playing that this week, so I will comment on that in the next one. So I actually went back to a game that I got about 3 months ago and never actually opened the cellophane on, to be honest. Actually, I got it from a Christmas, so it's more than 3 months ago.
Oh dear.
It's called The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. And
it's, by the way, a game I wish I kept my Wii for to play.
I really enjoy the Zelda games. I do enjoy the Zelda games. I'd really kind of get miffed with the whole kind of cutesy poo-ness of them a lot of the time.
That's just Nintendo.
But that is just Nintendo. It's actually a really nice game. I quite like the mechanic of flying your can't remember the name of the birds in them now. I can't remember any of the birds in them. They've got a special name. I can't remember.
The Tweety birds.
No, I want to say Hornrim, but I don't think that's right. Nice mechanic with that, with the kind of the advanced controller, which I forget the name of as well. The little extra bit that you have to plug in the bottom of your Wii controller. It's quite nice. The sword fighting, you swing your Wii remote around in the air. Got some quite nice extra little things with kind of finishing moves and things like that that I don't think I had in the previous Skyrim.
You've got a really sore shoulder now.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's got some really cool finishing moves. So, like, you basically take the nunchuck and the Wii remote, and after you've downed an enemy, you then kind of swipe them both in front of you, like from top to bottom, and he does this kind of massive, like, fly through the air and then stab in the chest kind of thing. It's got some quite cool things with the sword you could do, and blocking and shields and things like that. It's quite a good game.
It's one of the things when you see someone playing the game with the Wii Retro, they'll do that, the slight smoosh kind of like, but then in the game you do like someone totally amazing, but what you've literally done is in your pants on your couch just swung your hand. Yeah, I'm freaking brilliant.
It does this way. Yeah, it's same when you hold the nunchuck of the controller and you just swipe gently from left to right. He does this magic 360 degree pirouette that basically kills anything within like a 17 meter radius or something like that.
And you've sat there and scratched your nipple with your spare hand.
No, I would recommend it. It's a good game. It's been out, I would say, for probably about 9 or 10 months now, because I think it was fairly fresh. I think it was out for the holiday season last year. So,
Show. Get all the newest news. Yeah.
No, I like it, and I would have been talking about Risen 2 if Play hadn't screwed up. Frankly, so there you go. So I've been playing Zelda. This podcast and all the others, it wouldn't be possible without UK2.net. They've kept the British Tech Network alive for over 3 years now. And they're frankly fantastic. And you should use them. We have a whole pile of voucher codes and various discounts and services from UK2. So you could head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors. Like, guys, I'm trying to do a.
I was right down the knuckle.
You've no idea. What the listeners don't realise is when I'm trying to do these adverts, the two of you just try to do stuff to make me laugh. And
we're not doing it to make you laugh. We're doing it because we were entertaining ourselves.
Yeah. Anyway, so UK2, they're fantastic. If you head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com and go to the sponsor section, you'll find a whole bunch of voucher codes there. You can practically empty your shopping basket depending on what you buy with these voucher codes. So if you head on over, you can see the voucher codes. You then click on the link on that page, which will take you to UK2. You buy everything you need, pop in the voucher codes. And remember, and don't put in your payment details. before you put in the voucher code. So always put in the voucher codes first before the payment details, and then you'll be able to add in more than one. I also would really, really appreciate it if when you're logging into your account for servicing or anything like that, you come through UK2 as well. So there you go, UK2, they support British tech, and you should support them. Thank you very much. Now, on to the Bargain Basement Challenge this week. Chiz, what game did you have?
I had Shadowrun.
And how did you enjoy it?
Not too bad. Graphics were... It looked like a PS2 game, but I'm not going to hold that against it because it's not all about graphics. Mm-hmm. But the game, it wasn't too bad. I played about on the tutorial to learn on the controls, which I found quite cool. It's a first-person shooter sort of tactical online game. We have to basically all work together to
achieve you didn't something. Have to have the servers or anything like that?
No. I was forgetting because it's Xbox Live. It's... all still there, if it was on the because I think it's an Xbox only game. I think it was on PC as well, but when I did go online, I found there was only 7 games in the entire world actually playing at the time, which is the lowest I've ever seen for a game. And I got rejected for the first 2-3 games, and eventually found a game on my way into it and got a kill straight away. I chose a massive ogre guy, which I didn't do the tutorial for, and found all the stuff I'd learned didn't work with him. And basically, as soon as I kicked off, around the corner, an elf teleported in front of me, was a random player, and I shot him in the head. And it's just like, oh, that's a good start. But what I found quite good is that if you die, you do have lives. It's basically one life and you're dead, but you have to rely on your teammates to revive you. Mm-hmm. So basically, it forces you to work together that way. So if you die, you need somebody to come back to revive you, which is quite cool. And there's various things I didn't know, I need to be much more of it to learn and stuff, but one guy, when I was spectating, there was one guy on the team grew a golden tree out of the ground, and I was like, what's that for? he just stood round about it, shooting people, but just like, oh, it giving them health or something. I don't know, maybe it's like a health boost. Yeah. Then one guy summoned a massive monster to help him as well, which I thought was quite cool. But what I quite liked was, I think it was left trigger, was your teleport, and you can teleport through walls and anything, and basically it'll teleport you in the direction that you're moving. So if you press jump and teleport, you can actually teleport up to the next level. If you're inside a building, which I thought was quite cool, if you're getting chased by people, you just teleport everywhere. And you've also got a glider on your back, so you can jump off a roof and glide down and stuff.
Cool.
And
has the teleport got a cooldown on it?
Yeah, you've got, on the bottom left-hand side, you had your mana, or whatever it's called. Depending on how much of that you could use, but it looked like you could use the teleport quite a few times before you had to... build it back up. But I thought it was quite. I thought that was quite a cool thing and a cool idea. Although I can imagine it'd be quite annoying if everyone you try to shoot people, you just got room people go. The weapons, the only two weapons I had was a handgun and a machine gun, and they weren't really that satisfying to use. Didn't feel properly meaty, which I think is a big thing for a first person shooter. Mm-hmm. The weapons need to be satisfying. But the game, it was alright. Actually, it was quite a cool little game, and I think I need to play a wee bit longer to understand what the goals were and get to know people to revive me.
Very cool. Sam, what was your challenge this week?
Command and Conquer Generals.
Yes.
It's Command and Conquer with generals.
Before it was just soldiers roaming around. Just...
No. Oh, right. Not so
I
much.
I thought that was, actually. I thought it was a Middle Eastern-based one.
It's not... Yeah. No.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm thinking of the news.
it's moved away from Red Alert again, so it's not kind of in the past. It's more modern setting, and yeah, it's just Command and Conquer all over
Any
again.
New vehicles or troops or anything like that?
Yes, there were several.
What does the generals add to it?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, you get to call in stupid little strikes and things like that, and generals have their own little abilities, but no.
Okay. I had a Garden Simulator 2010.
I like how you sent me a picture of you and playing it. You can build a shrubbery.
I completed it.
You completed it?
It was complete at building a garden and maintaining it. Is a game never end, though, surely?
Well, there's two ways you can play it. You could just play it in free mode, which... was, as you suggest... Oh, sorry, I just pulled the cable there. Which was, as you suggest, it just never ends. You just continue to build your garden. But there was also a challenge mode, which is what I used. And basically, it's... I think it was 9 challenges. It was 3 columns of challenges, and I think it was 9 or maybe 12. And it was the first kind of.
I amazed you didn't bother to even complete them.
Well, no, I kind of thought about doing the free thing, but I kind of thought at least the challenges would break it up a little bit and make it less monotonous for me sitting here just watching a garden grow for an hour. Which actually did work because I managed to do all those challenges in like about 55, 56 minutes or something like that. It was just short of the hour, which gave me enough time to start a free game briefly. And basically all it was I honestly thought that they could have added something extra to it. And I know this seems really ridiculous, but the first mission was to mow the lawn. Literally, mow the lawn. That was it. And it wasn't even that the whole garden, for some bizarre reason, your whole garden hadn't grown at the same level. So there was just these random, perfectly square patches in your garden with long grass and random, perfectly square patches of short grass. And you had to drive over with your lawnmower
and match it to the short grass.
And well, you just drove over it. And as soon as your mower touched even a corner of that square of grass, it mowed the whole square.
It was a fancy lawnmower.
Very fancy. Then once you had two of those, you did that, and then you had to go and mow your neighbour's lawn. And the difference was the neighbour had lots of shrubberies and gardens all over the place. You had to kind of drive in between them to get the.
And did he stand his window making sure he did a good job? Yeah.
Nah, there was no sign of any people whatsoever. To get all your stuff, you had to walk into a shed which was empty. But then, as soon as you walked in, you saw this empty shed in front of you for about a second and a half, and then all of a sudden, this inventory popped up over your screen, which allowed you to choose items. But I thought it was a little bit lazy. They could have at least had the items lying there. Okay, you didn't interact with them, but they could have at least been sitting in the shed. You know, anyway.
You're complaining about a game called Gardener Simulator.
It could have been done so much better.
Dave didn't have enough time. The guy who made it was quite busy watching trains.
The next challenges were like you had to grow like a tree or something like that. And basically you had this area just outside your shed that was about 3x3 in these kind of meter square, looked roughly about meter square plots. You had to go over it, you clicked on the plot, and he threw his hoe at the plot, and then
you can do that in different games.
It's Grand Theft Auto. And then it just all of a sudden became soil. And then you went over and you clicked on the soil and he put a seed in. That seed grew lightning fast. And then every now and again...
Into just one plant or loads of plants?
One plant.
I feel we're talking about this game too much now.
It was, but the best part was, and I loved this, when you reached your goal, it came up on the screen in massive font and just said, "You win!" And I just thought, I didn't really. I've just wasted an hour playing a garden game. I don't think anybody won.
Just a bit of your soul die.
It was.
That was always the goal.
It was. It was pretty poor.
I would kind of like it if it was like illegal gardener, and you were growing like a little cannabis cash crop in the garden. Now you have to camouflage the crop.
So, anyway,
plant the cannabis in the Duke's garden.
Right, this week. Sam, I have a game that is right up your street. I think you'll really enjoy this game.
Really?
It's a Crash Bandicoot.
Sex, drama, politics, a real day in the office. You have coffee break.
Oh my.
Oh God.
And Chiz, because it's the Olympics, I thought I'd get you an Olympics-based game.
Cool. Oh, so I've got sore thumbs and button mashing.
Don King presents Prize Fighter.
Awesome. I've played that.
There you go.
And the way downfall I feel is we can't actually punch Don King a bit.
What have I got? Come on.
You have. With an Olympics team, this is in the Olympics. Even though by the time this podcast out, Olympics will be finished. But
I know. I think it comes out tomorrow morning. Like Sunday morning. The Olympics finish tomorrow night.
All right. Okay. Technically.
Handball simulator.
The bit. Oh,
I just punched Chiz in the balls. It was cramp again.
It was cramp. Yes.
I much prefer the massage you give me. Yes, you have the best sport in the Olympics to play.
Yes, thank you very much.
I can name all the players, but I'll not bore people. There's a guy called Steven, I think.
He's and good. That's it for this show. Thank you very much, Sam. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Okay.
If you want to contact us, Hurl Abuse.
Bye.
Seriously, just join the majority and don't waste your time.
You can email us at the British Tech Network.
If you don't actually leave us anything, Paul just gets more and more desperate, which gets more and more funny.
he is now actually willing to take you out for dinner and book a hotel with two beds. Mm. They can be pushed into a double. He will spoon. Mm.
So you can email.
He'll go further if it's a funny comment. Mm.
So you can email.
His speciality is to reach around.
He goes all the way on a first date.
So you can email us at BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com.
Smells of musk.
You can follow the network at British Tech News. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Wheatley. And if you could head on over to iTunes and give us a review and some stars, that would be superb. I will not be taking anybody out for anything, but I would just really, really appreciate it. So that would be great.
In the house, then, yeah?
He's cheap. You have to take him out.
Thank you very much, and good night.
Bye.